You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for listening. Hope you've had a great week. Look, we have another awesome episode for you this week because I am joined by record-breaking Australian singer-songwriter Tones and I. Tones came on the show ahead of the debut Harvest Rock Festival happening in Adelaide next month, going ahead on the 19th and 20th of November. She's going to be playing alongside a huge lineup that includes Jack White, Crowded House, Sam Fender, The Avalanches, The Lumineers, Courtney Barnett, the list goes on. For more details and for tickets, head over to harvestrock.com. This was a really interesting chat with Tones because it's the first time we've spoken since I interviewed her backstage Splendor in the Grass 2019. Fans remember that being the big year for Tones. Dance Monkey had just come out and she performed the opening set on the main stage, which still holds the record for the most attended opening set at Splendor in its history. And then everything blew up. Dance Monkey did what it did. It's one of the most streamed songs in the world ever. She performed across the world to enormous crowds. She's performed on US TV shows like Jimmy Fallon. She released her debut EP. A few months after that Splendor set, she released her debut album last year. So we kind of joined the dots between Splendor 2019 to now, and it's really cool to hear what she's been up to. And yes, album number 2 is officially in the works, we can confirm. But I'm gonna let Tones tell you all about it. Check it out. Here is Tones and I on the Plug Podcast. And welcoming to the Plug Podcast for the very first time, but not our first chat, Tones and I. Tones, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm feeling happy. I got to tour this year, which is awesome, and now I'm back in Australia for a little bit, for a little while, which is also great. I get to spend time with my dogs and my friends, so I'm feeling good.
Let's back up a little bit here because I think we were going to do this podcast a few weeks ago, and you had just finished your US tour. And then you went to Australia, and then I saw that you were in Korea, and now you tell me you're back in Australia. Timeline, please. Yeah. How did this work out?
So I had my Europe tour started with the UK. Oh, no, Mexico. Started with Mexico in the start of May.
Right.
Then went through to London in June, Europe, July, to the end of August. Then America in through August. Then I went on tour with Macklemore and Imagine Dragons in around America till September. Then I came home for a week and a half. Then I went to Korea and now I'm home again and I'll go to New Zealand next week.
Jesus. Okay, well, how's it been home for a bit?
I mean, yeah, it feels really good. Honestly, I guess the biggest thing. Okay, so trying to find when you're on a tour bus for so long. So I was on a tour bus in all those places.
Sure.
Trying to find laundry. And also more than anything else, like we weren't ever in a hotel room with a kitchen. So I have not cooked or had a cooked meal, home cooked meal since obviously May. So it was really good to go home and just make whatever I could make, which is usually just like pasta because right. I don't know how to make food.
And you are home now. I know you're not it literally home, but you are back in Australia right now, right?
Yes, I'm in Sydney.
Okay.
I'm from Melbourne, but I'll fly home today.
How was the tour? I know you just casually mentioned Macklemore and Imagine Dragons like they were some small indie band. But how was that tour? That looked incredible.
Yeah, it was freaking awesome. It was so good. They are such good entertainers and it was really eye-opening to be able to see how they do it. Obviously, they've been around for quite a while, but I think it's things like that. I've never been on a support tour in my life. This was my first one. I've never even released a song with anyone. So the Macklemore song, me and him doing Chant Together, was my first collab as well. So
yeah,
two really big firsts this year. But they're just, they're really inspiring. Their bands are amazing, and the way they put them on their show is really cool.
Yeah, and you also performed with Macklemore a few times before that tour as well. I know you guys did a show in Central Park in New York, didn't you?
Yeah, that was the first time. So that was like while my tour was still going or just starting. And that's the first time I also have ever seen him play live, which is pretty crazy.
How does the collaboration game work? I know usually it's the main artist reaches out to the person they want to cameo on the track. Was this the same thing? Did Macklemore reach out to you? Is he a big fan?
Well, Macklemore surprised me backstage at my Saddle show 2019. And then saw my show, asked me if I wanted to jump in the studio and write with him. This was the same 2019. Stayed in touch and then reached out again and was like, do you want to do a track with me? This was 2020. I was stuck in Byron Bay because of lockdown.
Sure.
But I could, it was 2021. I couldn't fly back to Melbourne, but I was allowed to fly to LA. So I did that. Weird. And then filmed it with him. So he sent the track to me first and said, what do you think about like this vibe? And I was like, it's awesome. There was another track, but it wasn't right. So this one was great. It was a bit more me and a bit more him.
Yeah. It's been really cool seeing you produce some new music because obviously Charlie came out in August. Can you tell us, are we officially on the path to album number two?
Yes, actually, you are. If you had asked me that a week ago, I wouldn't have been able to say yes, but now.
Are we both going to get in serious trouble for you saying that out loud?
No, I don't think so.
I want to backtrack, actually, because before we get to album number two, I mentioned to you right before the podcast started, if you remembered this, I remember meeting you for the first time backstage at Splendor in the Grass 2019, and it would have been maybe half an hour before your set at Splendor, which I think still is what's the record? The most attended opening set ever at Splendor in the Grass on the main stage. I remember meeting you. You were super humble. You were super kind. We gave away free headphones that you were very excited about, which I'm very flattered about. Thank you for that. And then from there, shit blew up in a major way. Obviously, the set itself was incredible. For people who weren't at this festival, you're on the main stage, the midday set, I think it was, in a 45,000 capacity amphitheater. It was near full.
Yeah.
Thinking back to that time and again, meeting you backstage, what was going through your head at that point as far as playing at Splendor is a big deal. For people who are listening outside of Australia, it's probably Australia's biggest music festival. You've got the opening set on the main stage. Where was your head at then backstage? And obviously the bigger deal of you getting the free headphones, we'll get to that later. But how are you feeling then at that point? Just to get a grasp, on where you were then in 2019.
So I think what happened from my perspective was obviously it was a 30-minute set. Because it was a comp winning set, I got to open the festival as a winner of a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 30 minutes, and when I went on, the gates weren't even open yet, and there was a guy in a ute dropping bins out in front of me, in the middle of the amphitheater. So to go out there with literally no one, and then to look at about 20 minutes later, in between all that. Just watching the people run down that amphitheater was pretty wild, because to get that many people to flood in that amount of time, that's kind of what I was watching the whole time. And then I think they all settled in by the time I got to the end of the set. And then that's where you get like those big moments from. But I always still even say now, even yesterday I wrote down, it's still the biggest moment of my music career because, I just didn't expect anything at all. So I don't know if I'll ever go somewhere again and not expect anything at all. And I think that's why it's so important.
Yeah, because obviously I was working. I was doing interviews backstage, and I remember that like it sounded like something horrible had happened the way, because we had a cool vantage point where we could see the amphitheater from backstage, and people were running. And I thought like, is there a bomb scare? What the fuck is happening? And it was literally everyone running from all parts of the Splendor site to get to the main stage.
Yeah.
That's so wild. And then obviously a few months later, you release your debut EP. You're playing these massive shows. I know you played at Big Sound that year, which is what Australia's South by Southwest. So it's where Australian artists go to get found. It's done a lot of work for artists like Rufus Du Sol were discovered there. Flume was discovered there. You had already had that hype on the back of Dance Monkey. And then from there, you're going to do stuff on Fallon. Things blew up for you very quickly. Did it feel that quick, given that your fans would know you were busking in Byron Bay a year before that?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. I mean, even so, I was busking when I played that Splendor set. I was still busking.
Wow.
So I just didn't busk, or I busked later that night, actually, in Byron Bay when I got back. I didn't stay for the festival. I stayed for a bit. So I think it was more of a I busked, did my first tour, and then that all started happening. I didn't really know because everything took off so quickly, I don't know who was in charge of it. I really don't to this point. But I was just taken around the world and was told to go here, then tomorrow you're doing this, and then you're doing this. And I promise you, that was the only time in my life I've ever been told what to do. And even throughout that, I had a lot of opinions about how I was being perceived and how important it was to just take a step back and see what's going on. But it was so much in such a small amount of time, and because I wasn't with a company or a label or anything when all this started happening, people were trying to play catch up. Not only was there someone that was like ripping through all the charts, but they were completely unsigned and people were freaking out about it. So it was important to me to like maintain my independent, I don't know how I'm going to finish that, independentness as an artist, mm-hmm. and to make sure that every decision I made was important. But that was probably the biggest thing, because I was kind of getting thrown around for a while. Well, I just say like 3 months, and then I got to just tour and not go to different labels everywhere in the world, which was kind of boring.
So when can you kind of get that independence back, like you said? Because, you know, we've just hinted at that album two is on the way. The first album only came out in 2021. How much has shifted then? Let's, you know, talk into the lead up of the debut EP, then in the lead up to the debut album. How much more are you in control now? How much more comfortable do you feel navigating these big projects and, you know, traveling around the world?
Well, I did write and produce my whole album and my whole EP, so nothing really different there. I'm more composing at the moment and learning as I go. I don't really want to produce this project like I've done my others. I'm learning more, writing string parts for orchestras and things like that. And I think it's important for me to like just keep learning, keep listening, and keep taking advice from people. The advice that I want to take and take this one a lot slower. I don't want to do something quickly because I haven't done an album. I've released an album, so it's important for me to just take my time and take it more serious. And I think last year when I released that album, I mean, it might fucking rot some people's brains to say this, but I think about I had those songs all written. I wrote them all in 2 weeks. I was working day in, day out, but that doesn't matter. You should not be able to do that, and it's not okay. And I think that's why I look at my album sometimes. I'm like, ugh. But look, for a first album, I'm going to always be able to look back on. I wrote it all myself. I'll be happy with that. But I can really tell I wrote like a good chunk of those songs in a short amount of time. And I'm not going to listen to anyone that says I have deadlines. And I'm not going to worry about that now. I'm just going to focus on me and try and write with musicians instead of writing with Ableton, which you can do that too, but that's not my priority with this album.
Are you holding on to a secret here? Like, is the album done, you're going to release it next week, or are we just, you are in the writing process, you have an idea of when you want to release it?
Yes, I am in the writing process right now. I definitely haven't finished my album. That would be crazy to say. but we will be releasing a single off the album soon, but not the album, its whole self.
Okay. Because, yeah, when Charlie came out in August, and I know it's about you missing your dog, and it's fucking devastating because I obviously just moved from Sydney to New York, and my dog's name is Charlie, and now I miss Charlie. It sucks.
Oh, Charlie's the best.
We haven't met him. Like, I'm sure your Charlie's great. My Charlie's great as well.
Yeah, but that's the best name for a dog. Honestly, I say it all the time.
Yeah,
like, what a great name.
Yeah. So you are going to be playing at the Harvest Rock Festival in Adelaide, the first ever. Massive names like Jack White, Crowded House, Courtney Barnett, the Avalanches. Yeah. Is this your first Australian festival since Laneway 2020, I want to say?
Oh, I want to say yes, but I don't know if I should mention this because, like, it was seated only, but I did do yours and ours in Wollongong, but
of course
it was seated only, and we had to stop the set halfway through to be like, everybody, if you keep getting up, we're going to have to stop and tomorrow will be cancelled. And that was not me that had to say it. It was some other poor guy that had to keep doing it.
What, so like a road crew had to come out and, like, tell you, stop singing for a second, Tones?
They had to stop the set. It was crazy. So I feel so sorry for them. I really do. I genuinely just feel like that's just not okay. I feel so bad. But unfortunately, yours now is I love you, but I can't count you as a festival. So, yeah, I would say Laneway.
Well, yeah, like a without being weird, like, quote unquote, a normal festival.
Oh yeah, Laneway for sure. Yeah. Like without restrictions. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, is it gonna be like how much? Again, I know I'm prying again, but how much new music can we expect in this performance?
I don't know. I think more than anything else, I've got, like, my optimal set, like the show that we've created, that we've been touring around Europe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This show is incredible. It has all my songs that are out and released, but new music may be one. But it's more the fact that, you know, I used to be on stage just with my keyboard, and, you know, to go to from that to this show that I have now, this is kind of the real, like, if anyone's seen me play before, this will be where I feel like I'm really bringing something to the table. I'm really coming through as an artist, trying to figure out who I am on stage. You know, I've only really been myself on the street. So I guess that's kind of what I'm more excited to show people.
And I know this is the most cliche question you'll ever be asked, but what are the big distinct differences when we talk about that Tones at Splendor 2019 and the Tones that people will see at Harvest Rock and with this new album that we hope will be coming out soon?
Well, I'm still just as nervous. I don't think that will ever go away. I'm always really nervous. I think definitely the set design, on just a superficial basis for a second, the set design, the props, there's bands, and I still busk. So it's more mixed up. The lighting, the screens, the flow, the interludes between songs, everything that I didn't have before. But me as a person, I get to have a bit more fun and move around and enjoy myself. But as I said, like, I'm always nervous. I will be until I die. But yeah, it's we've got a huge, huge, huge big madhouse on stage that I can climb to the top of, and my keyboard's Jesus. At the top of it.
Do you have fear of heights?
Well, look, not too. I do, yes, but this is okay. The only thing is, like, the madhouse actually sways when I'm on the top of it, so I get really nervous.
Like, in general, like, on a windy day?
No, it just sways from people, like, walking up the ladder on the inside.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, yeah, so I'm just trying to get used to that.
Yeah, well, we can't wait for the show. But moving forward, what are the next, I guess, 12 to 2 years look like? Is it really kind of get this album out and then get back on the road? Or, to what you said earlier on, are you going to just kind of take your time and see how you go? And if the album's not ready, it's not ready, and you'll just keep working.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to say. Just take my time with it and keep working. But in saying that, I don't necessarily rush projects. But as soon as I'm focused on one, I just put my head down and I want to work it out and get it done. But I will not release it unless I'm happy with everything, which I think last year for my last album, I love it and always be my first album. But there's a few things I could change. I'm sure everyone says that about their first big project.
Was the pandemic, because obviously the 12 to 24 months leading up to the pandemic, you were kind of go, go, go. Was it a chance for you to kind of just pull it back a little bit? Were you working on this album in the pandemic, or was it very much just take a fucking second to yourself?
I was working on the album during the pandemic, but it was pretty sad because I was on my first world tour, and then I just had to leave and go home. And I'm sure a lot of people were the same, but for me, that timing, the timing for me was crucial, for longevity, and everything changed to social media, and that really threw like a spanner in the works for me because, you know, the reason I didn't start off as a YouTube artist is because I just wanted to connect with people live. I thought that was a place of no judgment, and there's no space for judgment. It's just you don't like it, you move on. You like it, you stay. And that was me, and that's all I wanted to do. And then to kind of force me into going social media savvy because I had a huge following now. Mm. But I never did that before busking. Was like a really hard time to be pushed into that. And I think that halted writing and everything for a while. And I got a bit mad and I hated that. I hated feeling mad when I was writing. So I was like, no, I don't want to write like that. I would look back and regret it always. So I started to like figure out like what I was doing. And honestly, I didn't figure it out and I still haven't. Got heaps of songs written and ready to go out.
Yeah.
But like through the pandemic before the album, like I was just a bit,
I mean, I think we all were, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Tones, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know you're super busy right now. It was so great to chat to you. And what was it? This is October 2022. We spoke in June 2019. So let's reconvene in December 2025, please.
Okay. It's a date. I'll see you then. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And good luck in New York.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll try not to die.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Tones.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.